Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
I'll take you on a long journey because I not only can show you what the scientific status now, but I want to show you the development of these all these different hypotheses which are around today. So I'm going through this in a handout. There are five points I want to go through. I want to look back. And I want to look back on the golden age of the paleoanthropology with Lucy Habilis and also the golden age of basic type. Then I want to get into the more problematic field facing the facts for both evolution and creation. And in the end, I will like the open discussion with you. What are we going to do with these facts? So you have got this sheet and you're out there. A long time has gone by. When we look back 40 years ago, exactly 40 years ago, it was Lucy found by Don Johnson. He is about 40 years now, he's a little bit older. And actually 2014 is an age of a lot of paleoanthropologic anniversaries. It's 90 years Australopithecus africanus, 50 years Homo habilis, and 30 years of fossil DNA, what we're hearing next to my talk. And this was 30 years ago in the States, 13 years of human basic type research. I was starting my PhD on this specific outreach. Lucy, this was certainly in the 70s and 80s, the golden age of paleoanthropology. Lucy was the great lady of missing links, and she showed bipedal adaptation here in the knee and has a primitive skull, small brain, human-like teeth, a primitive skull, but all in all it's a bipedal form. So this was like kind of like a breakthrough for paleoanthropology, and they said, well, in the 70s, end of 70s and the 80s, we are almost there, we made it. We made it. Lucy, the bipedal strider, is walking towards humanity. It's got a very human-like, a hyper-human-like pelvic bone, hip bone, actually long arms and bent fingers, kind of strange, and they said, well, these are atavisms. And some say, well, they are not atavisms. Maybe they did also, Lucy also did some tree twirling. Not just only a bipedal strider. Then there was a big paradigm shift in the 60s. From Asia to Africa, so about 10 years before Lucy was found, the focus came from Asia, where there was the erectus forms found, to Africa back again, and Homo habilis was one of the great finds of Louis Leakey with the pebbles. Man is the handyman with a face pretty much like humans, a bipedal foot and a dexterous hand. And Leakey had in 1964 a handy hypothesis, the handy brain and bipedal man. Now we are there where we want to be. There were some critics, as usually are, that maybe different species are intermixed together. This is always when new finds are found. But this was dismissed, and Homo habilis was established as the first human form towards the line to Homo sapiens. So we've got Lucy, bipedal but small brain. We've got habilis, human-like, bipedal, enlarged brain and primitive tools, and erectus with a complete upright stance and pretty human-like body form. So we're on the way straight towards humanity. These were the golden age of the 80s, of paleoanthropology. We also have a golden age of creation science in the 80s and 90s. Here, this is the perspective 25 years ago. I was in the States and on a congress talking about my finds. And this is Gigantopithecus, and I gave him the expression, the last common ancestor. This is a knocking walker, a knuckle walker. This was 1989. And me, I was saying, there is no last common ancestor at all. Sorry, ancestor is missing there. This is the starting point. We are kind of one, evolution says, we are kind of all, everything goes together, and creation says we are two basic types. She and she. Maybe she. I don't know. So these are kind of the euphoric ages in paleoanthropology, both in evolution and creation science. The basic type concept in these times supported the human creation. So I will pin out a little bit the two concepts I'm talking about. The blue one is the evolution concept, you know, all roughly, very roughly, there are the apes and the humans, and somehow they are interconnected with a last common ancestor. And Lucy is right here, and Homo habilis following. This is the blue line towards the humans and the modern African apes. Then there is, well, it says last common ancestor was a knuckle walker because it was very similar, connected to the African apes, chimps, and gorillas. And the second model was the basic type creation model. It says that all forms, including the African apes, humans, and everything else, Lucy and so on, were created basic types. I think it's easy enough. Okay? The basic of this concept of basic type, creative basic type, lies, of course, on the discovery of Darwin's Origin of Species, and based on following observations, the origin of new species based on variability, isolation, selection, genetic drift, and so on. The second was during and after speciation, new forms may be interconnected by hybridization. So this is both, with the Darwin finches, the basis for evolution and the basis for a basic type. One species left the mainland and created all new species on the island. The Darwin finches evolved. Then we established in the extant form, in the extant biology, the basic type. I put them all together, the baboon and macaque and Cercopithecus forms, the guenons. They are interconnected via hybridization. So this is supposed to be one basic type created by God. So this seems everything really easy. This basic type of Cercopithecinae with nine genera in 55 species is quite a big basic type, developing via all this. So evolution makes the extrapolation from the Darwin finches. Everything comes from cell to man, and creationism makes the extrapolation. Basic types are unconnected creation units. Now I looked at the skulls of these Cercopithecines, and you see a really huge range in size, talapoin to baboon, and it doesn't look very similar, but you can see this is belonging to one basic type, and this extrapolation, I took this extrapolation to determine basic types in the fossil record. First I did the basic type typing in the extant form, the apes and in the monkeys, at least some. Then I took the extant circumpithecines and established the basic type of humans, for instance. Oops, it takes somewhat longer. Humans with all the forms, both living and extinct, extrapolation from the fossils, and the basic type of the australopithecines. The basic type of humans are pretty much a well-working hypothesis till today, with some problems adding at the end. This is a hypothesis which shows three overlapping morphologies. Chris Stringer from University of London established it with tools and bipedality, of course, and brains, and art, and so on. So the anatomy, the behavior, the hybridization data, which we're hearing later, and the genetic data, all say this is a good hypothesis, and these skulls, part of them are sitting on the table there, belong to one basic type, Homo. Svante Paabo, the genetic pope, I say, the PCR police, he said, the genus Homo, we are all one, and this is true. All these are just one big form, belonging to genus Homo, one basic type. So, the next basic type we established was the basic type of australopithecines. These are the three on the left, the outer side there. And they are quite nicely established. Like this, I won't go into it, otherwise my time, it's running out. And new forms which are added to in the last 20, 30 years, they nicely fit in into the basic type of Australopithecus. Okay, so long so good. Now we started to challenge the evolutionary scenario. So first we put up some alternative with the basic types, then we started challenging evolutionary hypothesis and started with looking at the skeleton, especially starting with Lucy. Lucy is one of the best skeletons we have. She tells us everything we have to know if we would have looked at it more closely, better. Everything is in her. Lucy, here bipedal stance, but also climbing abilities. Now we have got three colors which say Lucy is a mixture of both human and pan, chimpanzee, both human and chimpanzee traits, characters, and within very closely linked bones, a mixture. So we can say it's not a continuous ape-human developing, but it's a mix. So Lucy is actually more a mix than a link, not the missing link which we are looking for. The second highlight was that the bipedality, as I also already said, was not a striding, like human striding gait, but a including climbing as well. The next great highlight was that Dan Johansson, which I met in 89, found a skeleton which is called Lucy's Child. And Dan Johansson had a dream tree built on both Lucy and Lucy's Child. This is the tree straight from afarensis towards Homo via Homo habilis. So, and he found this wonderful skeleton, OH62, and dubbed it Homo habilis because of the palate and the teeth construction there, and wrote a book, Lucy's Child. But then I came and made investigation on this skeleton, a comparison with all the other finds I had with apes and humans. And I found, together with my PhD supervisor, Bob Martin, he's now in the States, that Lucy was, unfortunately, more human than Homo habilis. So how did I show this? Here we have the African apes. This is the red line, the red dots. And here is Lucy's child sitting pretty close to the African apes, arm-dominant, long arms for climbing, line. Here we have the human constitution, and kind of close or intermediate, come what say, is Lucy sitting more closely to the leg-dominant humans than to the right arm-dominant apes, in contrast to Lucy's child, which is supposed to be Homo habilis. So this was kind of like a swap or turning back in the history. The third highlight was then Homo habilis, less human than Australopithecus, and Bernard Wood, reclassified in 1999, Homo habilis as Australopithecus habilis. Actually, just a couple of weeks ago, he reclassified Homo habilis as neither Homo nor Australopithecus. So he just leaves it open. Yes, I was astonished by this. The second thing is all the other forms with bigger brains and larger brains towards humanity got kind of in scrutiny as well. Rudolf Hensis and Habilis were the candidates for being ancestors of humans, but they also go ape. So kind of a dream of creationism came true in the 80s and 90s. There was a gap between ape and man, and establishment of several basic types, kind of a nice thing. Huge gap here. Everything is either belonging to here or here. So we said, we are almost there. Okay, the evolutionists say, we are almost there. And we said, we are almost there. Dreams came true, and problems ignored. So I said to myself, I remember sitting in London's Natural History Museum, all the skulls lined next to me, and I said, well, if it doesn't be true, what would happen? And everything skipped away, and I said, well, don't worry too much about the time problem. This is not very good. You can't see it. Is it true? You can't see it. Yeah? So don't worry too much, this is an important thing here, down there, what's written there. Don't worry so much about age, about the time problems the physicists and geologists were pointing to increasingly in the scientific creation science movement. They say, well, we don't find any really good reasons to assume a short age. So I just skipped it. Didn't want to worry. I'm just an anthropologist. I'm a biologist. I look at the biology. Okay, second big point is, now we are going to the time where we have to face the facts, both evolution and creation. So starting with evolution, facing the facts. In the beginning, it was a really easy tree. It was like all apes belong together, and if you look at the anatomy, this seems to be really true. So this was the tree of the 60s, till the 60s, and the human separated, anatomically speaking, from the ape group. And that's the time where Ramapithecus, the legend ancestor of man, came into the point, and about 14 million years old, nicely fitting on the line from the last common ancestor somewhere here 2 million years towards human. But But when you look back, things change. So the question is, what is the last common ancestors of ape and man look like, and when did he live? So here he would live at 20 million and would look like, well, kind of like maybe an O-ring, like a a swinging, brachiating form. This would be quite understand. So in 1900, the last common ancestor, LCA, was a brainy brachiator about 20 million years old in the rainforest in Southeast Asia. And here comes in handy the Piltdown man with a human-like brain case and ape-like jaw. And it took about, I don't know, decades until this was disproved to be a real fossil, but it was fraud. But it fitted in this kind of tree very well until the 60s when the DNA came and the whole morphology was split up, and chimpanzee no longer belonged to orang-utan and gorilla, especially gorilla, but it's closer, more similar to humans. So this kind of thing was split up, and then of course Ramapithecus could not any longer be a precursor to humans. So the human like from the teeth, the human like Australopithecus was a Australopithecus, the tongue baby, which is sitting there, was a nice precursor now. And of course, the last common ancestor much more looks like a chimpanzee, and it was a knuckle walker. So if things belong together like this, much later, last common ancestor, it is supposed to look like a chimp, which is knuckle walking form. Knuckle walking means walking on the floor like this and sometimes being in the tree. And you can see this very nicely in the fingers. So this was kind of a major shift. We have got two major shifts here, and there is now in the last couple of years, last 3 years, a major shift going on from the knuckle-walking ancestor towards something else. And this is Ardipithecus ramidus, which mixed up everything. It started as very small skeleton, very tiny bits and pieces, and ended up as a great thing. And it's about more than 5 million years, and starting from this age, a nice precursor. Maybe very close to the last common ancestor, which is supposedly be 5 to 10 million years ago. And it took 15 years of analysis because of the consistency of the fossils and very great group of 50 or more people, scientists working on it. And you can see is that this wonderful skeleton here, and the reconstruction of it, I think it's a very good reconstruction, shows a strange mix of features. I pinpointed with different colors. This means S means ape-like, M human-like, and X is just unknown form. And you see the mixture at every place of the skeleton, a mixture on the skull of all forms, all relevant forms, as well as in the hip bones, in the hand, in the knee, in the foot. So this is kind of a bipedal form with big toe wrapping around the tree, a tree. So we have a bipedal form sitting in the tree. Fingers are bent for hanging. No knuckle walking signs like the chimpanzee. Walking big toe for climbing and walking on top of tree, and a foot for standing up on the ground. The basic cranium shows an upright posture, upright. And here we go, the two colors. Humans are blue, red, and chimpanzee. And here we've got all the, I'm so sorry, it's really bad. You can't stand up. So what we have here is the hip bone of the chimpanzee, the hip bone of the human, and here comes Lucy, and here Ardipithecus, and I adopted Ardi. And interestingly enough, this hip bone of Ardipithecus is a mixture of the pelvic of humans and a mixture of the lower part of Pan. So the whole thing is kind of weird. There's a schism right through the bone of the hip. And maybe we can say quite correctly from these different form, from these different fossil parts, he is arboreal and biped, and I called it Ardi, the RB. So if you want a short definition of Ardipithecus, Ardi, the RB. Okay, the question is RB close to the last common ancestor? Then it would be a non-knuckle-walking ancestor, or is it just another weird ape in the Miocene jungle, as Bernard Wood suggested? So what we've got here is we have to change this tree. No longer a knuckle walker, if we believe that Ardipithecus is a precursor, then we have to assume a last common ancestor about maybe 8 million years ago, roughly, and it will take a lot of time until this is settled. So I placed the time in 2020. Is he an arboreal quadrupedal climber in the wooded area of Africa? So, another evolutionary paradigm shift is just going on. Is the last common ancestor an RBPed? Okay. Next challenge for evolution is that associate skeletons, we are here in 2B. So we are here at 2B. The thing it always shows the trend which we observed in the 80s, that different body parts make different trees, because if you have a hip bone, one part of it is more like an ape and the other part is more like a human, then you don't know, take out the upper part, then it's going to the ape and the lower is going to the human. So this is the trend. I hurry through it because I see I'm not having time. In the 80s and 90s, new finds, Anamensis combining primitive skull with bipedal leg, Gari combining megadon teeth with human-like leg, just the opposite, and ape-like arm, opposite, human-like leg and ape-like arm. So the question was then, is he a bipedal brachiator? And Ardipithecus, we already talked about it. And this trend is increasing, and it can't be ignored anymore. And with each new fossil you find, it's getting even worse. So if you just pick the skull, you get a completely different answer where to fit this in. So you only can make a good tree if you have got the whole thing. So that's why, for instance, Ramapithecus was kind of a problematic thing, because you only had a small piece of the skull making it a human. So if we have a complete skeleton, then we can derive a tree out of it, we can say this one is heading more towards human or more towards ape. Okay, so let's find skeleton. More complete skeleton. Everybody would say this would be great, find more skeletons. And actually, a couple of years, maybe almost 10 years ago, they found another rather complete afarensis skeleton, and it was from a three-year-old called Selam, which means peace. And this had a shoulder blade. There was always this question, is Lucy climber or not? There are several people saying, no, this is just an atavism. It's just old stuff. She's a bipedal, and that's it. And here we have a young shoulder blade. You can compare it to human shoulder blade, to pan shoulder blade, and to gorilla shoulder blade. And you see the closest, of the same age, of course, and you see the closest it's to the gorilla shoulder blade. And so finally, Lucy could come to peace with being a climbing bipedal, finally, 30 years later. Now, no one should argue in a different way anymore. So here, this is the complete skeleton, left at least most of it, of this young afarensis. And I hurry through, and you won't get all the details, of course. What there is a second message from this young fossil afarensis. It got human teeth, ape-like ear ossicles, finger like ape-like, human-like knee joint. The foot is both human and ape-like. The elbow is ape-like. The chest is ape-like. The short neck is ape-like. And the higher the bone in the throat for speaking is ape-like. So it's a mixed and divided form from tip to the toe. And you can't say the upper part points towards this and the lower part towards the other. So the second message we take is Lucy comes to peace with her identity. It's more a mix and a link. More a mix than a link. And this, gets even worse with new specimens found. Just a new one, special edition in Science 2010 was another form found, which is called Australopithecus sediba, and it's an in situ. I'll find everything's together, two skeletons, no additional parts, so you know these are two skeletons and not nothing else. There's high technical analysis applied, and it's marvelous what you can do now. Sometimes I wish I could go into the field with these new technologies. This is wonderful. So this one, Australopithecus sediba, is an almost perfect find. And Lee Berger said, well, its potential and history to humans. It's also similar to Homo habilis. So almost say adopted Homo habilis, Homo sediba, sorry, but there were some arguments against it, so it got the name Australopithecus sediba, close to Homo habilis. This is the find setting in a pit. They were found in the pit, two partial skeletons, which could be identified, a juvenile male and an adult female. The juvenile male with a wonderful skull, also named Karabo, which means the answer. The answer, of course, for all the problems we've got. And De Silva, who was working with these skeletons, said, if they weren't associate skeletons found together, I would have placed them into 2 to 3 species. I read it again, it's on the lower bottom. If these skeletons weren't found together as associate skeletons, I've placed them into 2 to 3 species and also placed them into different places in the tree. The skull and all the technical things you can do with the new techniques, you can determine the brain size. It's very small. The brain size is extremely small. It has australopithecus-like convolution pattern. It's reorganized to some degree in the frontal lobe here. Reorganized nice means a little bit human-like. And it has a more human-like face and teeth than the other australopithecine faces, as a narrow end. Looking at the pelvis, the most important thing for upright walking, it's very human-like, both the juvenile and the adult. A comparison to Lucy, the distinct difference, Lucy's got this flaring out and this is flaring up, and this is because of the muscles. Lucy's walking up the tree and needs the muscles going in this direction for climbing up the tree, and in Sidiba it's going this direction for standing upright, so it's a good bipedal form. And it has got this strange mixture of human-like and chimpanzee-like as well. The heel of the foot is like an ape, and the ankle is like a human. So you have got one anatomical part with two directions. And even worse, it's with the finger, with the hand. It's a marvelous find, isn't it? And you looking here, you can see it's the power grip hand of an ape, which is still is, which has the ability to a strong grip, and it has got a thumb like a human for precision grip. So it's the mix, as you already know. And the question is Scarabeau, is Australopithecus sidiba indeed an answer? And if it meets Lucy, the answer is the perfect mix, bipedal and climbing, standing foot, grasping toe, precision and power grip, small and human-like face. So Caribou gave us two answers. The first is there are multiple modes of bipedality. So the hallmark feature of bipedality, which makes a human bipedal forms, is really inflated that so many forms, here we've got all the forms starting from maybe 9 million years ago till 2 million years ago, all forms of bipedal adaptation in different lines which are not interconnected at all, separated. So there are multiple forms of bipedal development. So this is kind of really strange because developing bipedal upright stance is kind of very improbable, I think. So what's going on? So many lines, you can't make a tree. So many different forms which show in different directions. And Caribou says, there I'm just another almost ancestor in the tree, the muddled tree in the middle. So we have got multiple almost ancestors. Too many potential ancestors are really no ancestors, and too many potential trees are really no tree. So we don't have ancestor and tree. This is the problem evolution has got now. They have to face the fact, easy was yesterday. Today was no ancestor, no tree, only phyla shrub. So we have to work harder to understand and find more fossils. But you know, more fossils are more problems. Or you have to change the paradigm. And here comes a good idea, which I find very intelligent. So you see all these different forms. And the German anthropologist Friedemann Schenk says, for decades, paleoanthropologists were looking for the ancestor, but they hunted a phantom. There is no ancestor. No ancestor around, there never was one. If we don't have one, we don't need one. So what's his contribution? He is, of course, believing in evolution. He says, well, hybridization between all these forms, you remember these many things, yeah, may finally combine all necessary traits to become human. So it's kind of a networking. Networking between the forms. Now we come to our problem. The problem of creation science. We do have one as well, or a big one. You know, remember, we are all one. We are one, and this is very well established. Humans are a group established both genetically and morphologically, but there are some problems around. For instance, this hobbit, 20,000 years ago, tool behavior like sapiens, tiny body size, but the almost absolutely tiniest brain of 380 cubic centimeters and a strange skeletal mixture. So, is this an island dwarfing? No. Since 2004, they are increasing trouble with the hobbit, getting less and less sapiens-like. So we've got huge feet, for instance. We've got long arms. The brain is human-like. Actually, indeed, human-like. And it's got tools which look like sapiens tools. But if you compare the whole skeleton with Australopithecus afarens, with our Lucy, then we see an astonishing kind of similarity. If you add all features together, you have got 8 features, placing it into sapiens, 11 features, making it close to erectus, 7 features very close to Australopithecus and Herbalus, and 5 are unknown. Is there a mix between humans and Australopithecus in a setting with a form, a hobbit in Indonesia, with 2 very distinctive features? If you look at the skull closely, there's another strange thing. The skull is nothing, you can't compare it with anything, the face, I mean, with anything close like erectus in the Asian part of it, in Southeast Asia. But there is a similarity thousands of miles away and millions of years ago away, and it's a similarity towards the Dmanisi finds in the Near East, about almost 2 million years old. And this find is in extremely similar forms. So these similarity brings us to the next problem. And the next problem is the population in Dmanisi. It's about fossils finding between 1.8 and 2 million years, almost 2 million years. And they seem to be rather erectus-like in the beginning. But the more you looked at it, the less it was human-like. It's got tools, of course, and short arms and small but human-like brains and tools on the gate is human-like, but it had to change their names because of features which didn't fit really to the Homo erectus. There was this skull here, which you can find there, you may identify it, compared to an African form which is dubbed Homo habilis. So we have got now forms of habilis in Georgia, and you know habilis is Australopithecus, maybe, or not, or even something else. So it's getting even worse with a find looking at the skull. They found five skulls on the last they found, and if I look at this, I would say, well, it clearly looks like Australopithecus. And they were all found within a very short place. So you've got erectus, habilis-like, and I think this is erectus-like. I dubbed him George, that's my adoption, George. And this skull, George, and the other one, which looks more like habilis, I call it Eve. Actually, it was in a public as well. Is this Adam and Eve? Is this living together in the Near East? Did Adam and Eve look like this? I don't think so. If you look at the variation of these fossil skulls, this variation is so high that it just, if you accepted it's a continuity, you have in this team everything of human evolution starting from Australopithecus up to Homo erectus. So one team with all traits, is this one basic type or not? Is man a mixture, a mixed creature of humans and Australopithecus in one, in this Dmanisi fossil deme? This is tough enough for us. It's not only tough for the evolutionists. They say, well, we can adapt our thing. But if you look at the skull here, this one is, I thought, would be like the basic type of Australopithecus, and here the basic type of Homo. And you look here, this skull, these skulls, both Hobbit and the Dmanisi, the George and Eve and Dmanisi. If you look at this, you find similarities to both Australopithecus and to Homo, say, erectus. So it's a mixture of these two basic types. This is kind of rough and tough for me. So the complete variation of hominin evolution in one population, is it the perfect continuum or is it just a mix that some things came together which should not have come together, maybe via hybridization? So we are on the problem, what we are going to do. Are these two basic types, man and Australopithecus, linked with a escape with a Dmanisi form, which combine these two basic type in an oddly way? Is there an intermixion? Is this basic type not separately completely, but maybe two basic types combined via hybridization? It's a leaky. Are these leaky basic types? So now we have to face the facts. Easy was yesterday, that's for everybody. Do we have long times? Isn't it as easy as we thought, a short time model? Do we have leaky types? shall we try harder and wait for more fossils? But the trend shows us it's going all the same direction. It's getting mixed up even more. More problems by more fossils. So do we have to change our paradigm? Do we have mixing ancestors, mixing ideal types? Do we have like a reticulate evil creation? So these are kind of very hard questions I pose. And I would be have been glad to end it in a different way. You can believe me. But these are the facts I can't get around. So we do have problems. Both evolution has got problem, but they don't need to change too much. Some. And we have problems, my problem or our problem, and we have a common problem that everything is getting more mixed up. And it's also these mixed up fossils in the middle of human evolution or in the middle of creation is called the muddle in the middle. This is for us, for both, mixed almost ancestors and leaky basic types. So what we have in common, evolution and creation, is we have to fight sphinx-like forms, you know? A sphinx with body parts looking in different directions. Like Oedipus had to fight with one. When I started in 1989, everything was easy. Evolution said there's a common ancestor and it's a knockerwalker. I said there was no ancestor at all. And 25 years later, we have to say, well, the evolution has to say missing ancestor. We have to change the hypothesis of the ancestry. And I have to say, is it true that there are the basic types kind of leaking with long times in between? I don't know. We have more problems in common than we thought. And I want to end with my statement of belief. I believe that God is one and he created everything. But how? I don't know. And Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. God is one.